Romans 13. Looking at just three verses today, but we spend a lot of time on one word. As we began the last section of this letter last week, we addressed the final answer to that question, who are the people of God? And the answer is those who live separate and separated from the world. Who are the people of God? Those who live separate and separated from the world. The essential ingredient in the life of faith for you and me is Christian service. You owe submission and honor to the civil authorities, but you owe all men much more. And as I've been said in New Testament the last 7 weeks, it has struck me how much service is a key theme in each of the New Testament books. One of my mentors did his dissertation on just the letter of Philippians, with the emphasis of Philippians being on service. Because Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In fact, he says, let this mind be in you, means that it was not in them. And he was impressing upon them, giving them the imperative that this mind needed to be in them that was in Christ Jesus. The fact that even Paul's healthiest church at Philippi had a dispute between two folks that had spilled out and folks were taking sides between those two shows the lack of service. But even in Corinthians, when the rich would come in and take the Lord's Supper, have be full and get drunk, and the poor would come in and wouldn't have anything, that showed lack of service. When they were celebrating the sin of the one man in chapter 5, it was a lack of service. When they were pointing out the divisions, I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm a Christ, they were showing a lack of service. Service is the essential ingredient in the life of faith. We have 3 points. The continuing debt in verse 8, the second table of the law in verse 9, and Christ in verse 10. We'll read all three verses. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let's think upon that continuing debt. That continuing debt of love. Preach and live in Jesus and expect it of you and me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Your goodness that calls us to repentance. That doesn't leave us as we are. Rather, your goodness shapes us for the rest of our lives, sanctifying us, equipping us for every good work. Lord, it's not enough, as we understand from James, to just have faith. For one will say, I have faith, you have works. For one will say, I have faith, but no works. Another will say, I will show you my faith by my works. Lord, only you can see the heart. But our hearts that are changed will evidence in the light of faith through the works that you prepared for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The continuing debt. Notice there in verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What does Paul mean? What is Paul saying when he uses that word another? There's another passage in which Paul uses that word. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul writing to the Galatian Christians because they are being entrapped, they're being ensnared by the Judaizers, says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, unfortunately, we as Americans, we as English speakers, we only have one word, another. And so, when we come to Galatians, and we see another gospel, which is not another, we have to try to figure out what that means. Or when we come to Romans 13, we see, but to love one another, he that loveth another, hath fulfilled the law. Paul, writing in Greek, had a much richer language. And Paul uses two separate words. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, heteron euangelion hau estin ala. Two separate words. Or none. John, when you married Charlotte, you were joined to another person. But she is another person of a different kind, hence the word heteron, which we know in English, heteron, heterosexual. A man marries a person of a different kind. Paul, talking to Galatians, says, I'm amazed that you're taken away by a different gospel, which is not another Allah of the same kind. Allah would be same, heteron would be different. When we come to the Romans 13 text, agapon, love, alleluus, ha, gar, agapon, tone, heteron, we see this has the same root as up here. So when Paul says, in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. Love one another, hallelujah. Love one another of the same kind. So that's Christians. Love one another of the same kind, hallelujah. For he that loveth another, heteron, hath fulfilled the law. So you and me are called in Romans 13:8 to love another of the same kind, Christians. As well as to love another of a different kind. Unbelievers. But it begins first with believers. Lest judgment begin in the house of God. The early churches did not turn their eyes inward upon themselves and neglect the outside world. One of the marks of a dying, declining church is that congregation turns their focus inward. Everything is about what's going on within their four walls amongst the people who are already there. And even if there is outreach, there's an expectation that those who come in will either already like them or will soon assimilate. And you better not rattle, shake the apple. The mark of a dying, declining church is inward focus. But those early churches, they didn't turn their eyes inward. They had an outward focus. When Paul calls us to not only love one another, but the same kind of Christians, as well as love another of a different kind, unbelievers, he is establishing himself in the line of Jesus, who told the man which of these proved to be neighbor to the one who fell among thieves and was left for dead, the one who showed mercy. The Samaritan was another of a different kind. And this Jew was told to go and do likewise. Let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Emphasis here on verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. So we cannot be like those dying, declining churches and just overlook those outside, but at the same time, we don't want to have only an outward focus and neglect those within the congregation. We must have then all of the above strategy. The all of the above strategy is especially those who are the household of faith. But you also need to be showing love to those who are of a different kind. Love fulfills the law that we saw in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, as well as turn back just to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we see that love fulfills the law. But the fruit, notice it's singular, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And from love, we see joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the continuing debt that you and me have is to love them. Beginning in the household of faith and reaching out into our community and our society. Which brings us to the second table of the law. Second table of the law, Paul looks to those commandments from Moses that address behavior between man and man. If you look at the first table of the law, it's all about our relationship with God. If you look at the second table of the law, it's our relationship with fellow man. And one way to remember the law is the first table of the law has that vertical focus. The second table of the law has that horizontal focus. So even in the law, we see the cross. Even in the law, we see the cross. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. We see Christian imperatives here. These aren't declarations of just this is that, but this is an imperative, a command. Paul is commanding Christians to preserve the sacredness of the family. He is commanding Christians to hold human life inviolate from conception to natural death. All life is precious in God's sight because He is the Creator. Man does not have the right to end life at any point. God is the one who fixes our days. He knew you from before you were born. He knows the hairs on your head. And He's appointed time. Scripture says it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Paul commands Christians to recognize the right of ownership of property and to control their desires. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, cited Leviticus 19 in Matthew 22, Matthew 22:34, and we'll read through verse 40. Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him, tempted him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment? in the law. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This lawyer was wanting to test Jesus. This lawyer was wanting to see if Jesus would place a greater importance on one commandment. And Jesus, knowing the best, reaches into the Mosaic Law, into the Torah, citing Leviticus 19, says, you shall love the Lord God, you shall love all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even in the Old Testament, we see that the law is summarized that way. Even Moses summarized the law, and Jesus established himself with the law and the prophets. The Sadducees had much to disagree with Jesus on. But the Pharisees, theologically, doctrinally, they were much closer to Jesus than what they wanted to admit. And Jesus used that to expose the duplicity of their lives. Because when they tested him, he went straight to the Hebrew Scriptures. The law, the prophets, and the writings. The continuing debt presents us with the second table, and from the second table we see Christ. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Everett Harrison says it this way: in Christ, the two concepts of love and law, which seem to have little in common, come together. If they didn't get that in the first century, how much less do we get that now? How hard is it for you and me? How hard is it for folks who call themselves Christians, who identify with Jesus, to wrap their minds around love and law working together? And especially to wrap their minds around love and law being brought together in Christ. Because too oftentimes, Christians have poles that they retreat to. Either they will have a heavy dependence and reliance on law, or they will have a heavy dependence and reliance on love. Everett Harrison has it right when he says, in Christ, the two concepts of love and law, which seem to have little in common, come together. And we see that in the cross, don't we? Because the cross is the solution to the law. You and me were sinners. We deserved hell. We deserved eternal separation from the favorable presence of God. But Jesus died in your place. God poured out your sin upon Jesus. Just as those Old Testament sacrifices, the priest would lay their hands on the sacrifice, symbolically placing the sins of the people on those sacrifices, God poured out your sin on Jesus. In Jesus we have the fulfillment, the mandate of the law, and in Jesus we have love. What greater love has any man than he laid down his life for his friends? Turn back with me again to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Read the first six verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. But I wonder why that didn't look right. Galatians 6, 1 through 6. Brethren, this looks a lot better. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear each one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he become rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught of the word communicate in him that teacheth in all good things. Man is overtaken. You who are spiritual, restore with the spirit of meekness. Bear one another's burdens. The 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 34, Jesus gives the great commandment. That command of love for most obedience, which is the Lord. The great commandment is to love one another. And that command of love for most obedience, which is the law of Christ. Is the law of Christ written on your heart today? Has the Lord pricked your heart with the reality of your sin? Has the Lord shown His grace and mercy to you? Has the Lord called you to Himself, saying, "Come, my son. Come, my daughter." Paul, in writing to Timothy, says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, "But you, O man of God, escape these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I command you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, in the sight of Christ Jesus, who testified a good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep this commandment without blemish, blameless for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He who is the blessed and only Lord The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will reveal at the proper time. He alone has immortality, living in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen nor can see. To him be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know Jesus more today than you did yesterday? Will you know him more tomorrow than you know him today? If you never surrender to the Lord Jesus, confessing your sin, repenting your sin, and receiving the grace that he has for you, do so today. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. Thank you for your goodness, for your love. It's in your name we pray.